Hey everybody, it's Daniel. I'm back with another episode of Spain to Go, the best podcast in the entire multiverse about all things Spain. Today, we're going to talk about prostitution. Prostitution is kind of a public debate these days. The government has claimed they're going to do something about it, and I recently had some time to think about it and do some research, and I wrote up an article that is on the blog at expatmadrid.com. It's called Prostitution in Spain. Will the government abolish the oldest profession? So let's learn a little bit about prostitution in Spain. First, a personal anecdote. Several months ago, I was in Madrid with my girlfriend, Morena. Not her real name. We were walking down Calle Leganitos, just off Plaza España. If you've been to Madrid, maybe you know it. It's one of the streets just off of Plaza España with a lot of Chinese-owned businesses. They've got the supermarkets, the hairstylists, the wedding photo studios. And wandering along and looking in the shop windows, I noticed there were a few girls standing outside the nail salons. They were well-dressed and obviously there for some reason. I figured they were doing customer capture. The only thing was, they were all scrupulously avoiding me and Morena. When we looked in their direction, they would look the other way. I thought that was pretty weird, and I wondered why these girls weren't offering Morena a pedicure or something. We walked on, and I completely forgot about it until El País came out with an article called Getting Your Nails Done at a Secret Brothel. If you just Google that, you can find it and read it. There's a Spanish version which is much more complete if your linguistic skills are up to it. It's called Hacerse la Manicura en un Puticlub. Google either one of those things and you will find it. Very interesting. It was customer capture, just not for people like us. It turns out some of the nail salons on Calle Leganitos are actually brothels. Who knew? But I guess from my research, there are quite a few secret brothels in Spain and a lot of regular brothels. The regular brothels are along the highways or in the cities, and they often have large neon signs giving you an idea of what they're offering. If you ever see a club or cocktail bar or whiskeria or something with a bright blue neon sign, you can guess they're doing something like that on the inside. Anyway, those are the regular brothels. The secret brothels are in nail salons or hair salons or even Airbnbs or private flats. And sometimes they're not all that secret. So today, we're going to talk about one of the darker corners of Spanish life, the mostly underground prostitution industry. First things first, we've got a lot of stuff about sex on my blog at expatmadrid.com. There's one about sex in Spain, which I promise I will record as a podcast eventually. In that one, I talk about penis size, about infidelity, about that time someone's granddad offered to blow me in the park. Probably not your granddad. I mean, maybe your granddad, but probably not. It was definitely somebody's granddad, though. Then there's the article about dating Spanish girls, a situation which often, but admittedly not always, leads to sexual intercourse. Finally, there are a couple about Spanish housewives turned prostitutes, something which allegedly happened a lot during the previous economic crisis. But there's always more to say about the sexy side of life in Spain, so let's get to the prostitution debate. First things first, is prostitution actually legal in Spain? The short answer is, well, sort of. At least it's not illegal. It's in an unregulated legal gray area. I believe from my research that I found that it was illegal during the dictatorship. It was illegal part of the time after that, but it was still widely practiced. Eventually, those laws were, you know, removed from the books, whatever you call that, and were left with no regulations regarding prostitution. On the other hand, pimping is illegal, and so is sex trafficking, obviously. Pimping, I'm not sure if there's a more elegant word for it in English. In Spanish, proxenetismo sounds a bit more formal. Current laws, in any case, make it hard to prove that pimping or sex trafficking is taking place at all. If your suspected victim of trafficking is an adult and says that the whole thing is voluntary, you don't really have a case that it's not voluntary. You can't generally just declare that a crime has been committed without a victim claiming to have been victimized, and that often does not happen. Estimates say that there are anywhere from 70,000 to 400,000 prostitutes in Spain, most of them immigrants. And the industry moves 3.7 billion euros per year, or perhaps much more. I saw different estimates. 3.7 billion seemed to be the low-end estimate there. It really depends on who you ask. So, if prostitution isn't illegal, does that mean it's just a regular job? Well, no. But perhaps it could be. Interesting fact I found in my research. In 2018, a group of women called OTRAS, which is an acronym for the Organización de Trabajadoras Sexuales, Organization of Sex Workers. Anyway, OTRAS registered as a trade union with the Ministry of Labor, which caused a sort of feminist backlash when activists demanded the abolition of prostitution, as well as the abolition of the trade union. The activists argued that since no work contract exists, prostitution cannot be considered a job, and therefore there can be no trade union. And I guess they're right, up to a point. Since pimping is illegal, there really can't be a boss and employee dynamic. There can't be a work contract. There are no companies offering prostitution services in this explicit way. So, according to the rules of trade union organization in Spain, they wouldn't really be workers in the classic sense. But maybe they could be autónomas. Here's another interesting thing I came across. A judge. A judge named Gloria Poyatos, with a Y. Gloria Poyatos put the idea of prostitutes being autónomas when she actually registered as a freelance prostitute several years ago. If you are freelance in Spain, you can go to Social Security and then to the tax ministry and register your freelance activity. You have to pay Social Security fees every month, etc., etc. So this judge, this was part of a thesis, I believe, that she was doing for her, you know, legal studies, tried to register as a freelance prostitute. And apparently she went in and, like anybody else, said, "I want to register my activity." You know, the person at the desk called their manager over, and the manager was like, "Okay, prostitute it is. We don't have anything specific about prostitution, but we have like other jobs, and you can just register as a miscellaneous other freelancer and then go do whatever you want." She was, of course, not intending to actually prostitute herself. She just wanted to prove this point that it's an unregulated gray area, and perhaps if prostitutes wanted to become registered freelancers, they could do so, pay taxes, have certain benefits. Of course, the fact that most of the prostitutes are women who are from other countries and often don't have papers would complicate that. However, one way or another, it is theoretically possible. In any case, it's difficult to imagine a situation in which prostitution moves above board, given the current legal situation. Anyway, there is a debate about whether we should regulate or prohibit, and when I say we, I mean the Spanish government, we, the Spanish people, of which I am also not exactly one, but should we regulate or should we prohibit prostitution? It turns out there are several different theories about what should be done with prostitution in Spain and other countries in Europe. The prohibitionists want prostitution to be completely illegal. Prosecute the pimps, prosecute the prostitutes, prosecute their customers, and just make the whole thing go away. Is that possible? I really doubt it. There are plenty of countries where prostitution is already illegal, but I don't think there's anywhere in the world that's actually managed to make prostitution disappear. And wouldn't prohibiting the livelihood of some of the most vulnerable members of society just make things worse for them, not better? I don't imagine that, you know, being in and out of prison is going to improve the lives of prostitutes. On the other hand, you have the other theories. Abolitionists and neo-abolitionists, for example. Neo-abolitionists can also be called the Nordic model, who generally want to prosecute the customers, but not the prostitutes, while also trying to help victims of sex trafficking to escape their situations. Then you have those who would like prostitution to be legal and regulated, as it is in the Netherlands, Germany, and a few other countries. That would have certain benefits. Sex workers could have contracts, join trade unions, and presumably go on sick leave or have public pensions when they retire. In Spain, as I said, prostitution is unregulated and officially not illegal, but some cities have passed laws designed to get sex workers and their customers off the streets, essentially fining them for doing in public what would be perfectly legal in private. Furthermore, Pedro Sanchez's coalition government has recently promised to make prostitution illegal. The problem is, nobody can come to any sort of agreement about how illegal they want to make it, even within the socialist and far-left Unidas Podemos parties. There's no consensus on whether it should be fully illegal like the prohibitionists want, or if they should adopt something closer to the Nordic model. So for now, prostitution is an open secret. And all this brings us back to the roadside brothels, the clubs, and the other places where prostitution happens every day in cities and towns all over Spain. Since pimping is illegal, how exactly does that work? Well, apparently, the women working in these sorts of places are just renting rooms from the owners. I'm saying renting rooms in quotes there, but essentially they work like expensive hotels where these women go, they rent a room, and there they're able to practice whatever they want, in theory, because they're doing something legal. They're just renting a room. Here in Catalonia, actually, you can run a licensed brothel if you want. You charge entrance at the door, sell overpriced drinks, and rent the rooms out at exorbitant prices for women to ply their trade. Not many places have actually gotten licenses, though. Most brothels are just run as bars or strip clubs, with extra services offered in private areas. I'd like to repeat that everybody knows about this. If you ask some Spanish men, they know exactly where to find this sort of thing, for the most part. Anyway, about these brothels, there's not much the police can do except fine the owners for not having the correct type of license for the activity happening inside. It's all pretty much legal. As for the nail salons, they're less obvious, but regular customers, people getting their nails done, and neighbors in the area often know what's happening. Presumably, so do the police. It's all what the Spanish call un secreto a voces, which is a sort of an open secret. In Madrid, interestingly, many places where street prostitution takes place are directly outside police stations. Calle Leganitos, well, the nail salon prostitution, which I mentioned earlier, has a police station right on that street, and so do the other two places I know about, Calle Montera and Plaza de la Luna, both off of Gran Vía, have police stations. You can make of that whatever you will, but it doesn't seem like there's much attempt to hide, even, in Madrid. Here in Barcelona, I think they've started finding people who are actually just working out on the street, and it's a bit of a different situation. So, on to human trafficking. You may have noticed that I'm kind of dancing around the topic of human trafficking. Mostly that's because the estimates of how prevalent it is vary so widely. Gloria Poyatos, the judge who I mentioned earlier, claims that only 15% of prostitutes in Spain are in situations where they're not free to leave. Only is her word, and I think that's still a lot of people. However, some NGOs working the field, on the other hand, say that the vast majority of prostitutes are unrecognized victims of human trafficking. I don't know. In any case, it's hard to tell. With so many immigrants involved in the industry, a lot of people don't have papers and might not be willing to talk to the police. As, you know, someone who also did not have papers for several years, let me tell you, it does not make you want to get into a long conversation with a police officer. So, if you don't have a victim willing to file a police report, you usually can't prove that a crime is taking place, like I mentioned before. But that's not to say that the government isn't trying. In 2019, authorities reported identifying 467 victims of human trafficking in Spain, 250 of sex trafficking, 173 of labor trafficking, 24 of forced criminality, and 20 of forced begging. That's from the U.S. State Department's 2020 Trafficking in Persons report. A report which, incidentally, ranks Spain as one of the better countries at preventing human trafficking. They have like a tier system of countries depending on how well they're enforcing attempts to stop human trafficking, and Spain is a tier one country. So, congrats to us. Anyway, that's a little bit about the supply side of the question. What about the demand side of the question? Well, this is where things got even more surprising for me. In case you can't tell from what I've said so far, I'm not the kind of guy who's going out and partying at brothels, so I read a lot of articles. I saw a lot of pictures of, you know, the typical article about the prostitution industry has sort of anonymous girls in very high heels standing somewhere with a lot of red light. Saw a lot of those photos. Anyway, in 2017, El País reported, El País, the top Spanish newspaper, I guess, reported that the consumers of prostitution are actually getting younger. I had no idea about this, and I would not have guessed. But here's a quote from the article. We all have the classic profile of Johns in our mind. Men of a certain age, perhaps wearing a suit and tie. But lately, in our routine inspections, we're finding a lot of boys, a lot of young men who are aged 19, 20, or 21. The profile has definitely changed. The age has gone down a lot. That is written by Nacho Carretero and published in English.elpais.com, where you can go to read Spanish news in English if you want. Anyway, it's true. I had not really considered that guys under about age 40 might be going out to brothels on Friday nights. I figured we had moved past that sort of thing decades ago. Once again, being from the U.S., this is not a popular pastime among guys my age and demographic, at least. You know, I grew up in the middle of the desert in Arizona, and it's not like we had, brothel along the road to my high school. But I guess, you know, we, in Spain, we could have that kind of thing. Anyway, according to the same article, the consumption of prostitution is just another example of the sort of instant gratification that people are used to expecting these days. Is it, though? I kind of disagree, because it seems to me like prostitution is also more of a general cultural issue. Here in Spain, it's considered to be just another socially acceptable form of entertainment. Ask some Spanish guys sometime. You might be surprised. But yeah, just a form of entertainment like going to a football match or hanging out in a bar. You go to the brothel. You hang out. You have some drinks. You do stuff. It was definitely socially acceptable for the older generations. And apparently it is for the newer generations as well. So here in Barcelona, there's prostitution in discos and on hotel roof terraces. Business picks up during summer tourist season and every time there's a big international conference. And it would appear that prostitution is not going away. If anything, the opposite. So, what can be done about prostitution in Spain? Prostitution is sometimes called the oldest profession. There are historical references to it going back to the ancient Sumerians. It's mentioned in the Bible, the Quran, and the Kama Sutra. So I have my doubts about whether a strict prohibition is going to work. Anyway, as I've mentioned before, the whole left-right political spectrum doesn't do much for me either. And one of the reasons why is what people consider to be left-wing or right-wing depends a lot on the country where they're having this conversation. Back in the US, we have a different culture about these things, and the socially acceptable leftist opinion seems to be that prostitution should be legal. In fact, that making it legal will protect women somehow. There's an article in the Harvard something. The Harvard, let me click on this link. Harvard Civil Liberties Law Review has an article called "To Protect Women, Legalize Prostitution." And who am I to argue with Harvard University? So, maybe they have a point. Just look at Amsterdam. I've wandered through a couple of the red lights districts in the Netherlands, incidentally, and I thought the whole thing was pretty creepy. I found them both by accident, one in Amsterdam and one in Haarlem. The Haarlem in the Netherlands has its own little red light district, and it's not the kind of place I would hang out, and it didn't seem like some sort of idealized situation like people might paint it. But what do I know? Anyway, on the other hand, here in Spain, the left seems to want prohibition, with some going as far as to compare brothels to concentration camps for women. That was a politician named Laura Berja. Laura Berja has said that brothels are concentration camps for women. And once again, I am not sure. What should be done? I'm not in any way qualified to answer that question. I just wanted to report a little bit on the debate and the current situation. As usual, I'm just a humble blogger. I'm not trying to make some giant moral conclusion. But I will say this. Trying to legislate away all the basic urges of a highly sociable and super horny species of non-arboreal primate seems like a plan that's bound to fail miserably. I just hope the people in charge come up with some way to crack down on the human trafficking aspect. For now, though, it just seems like the political debate could go on for quite a while. I guess we'll see, and I will, of course, report back if anything new happens. I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you're having a great day wherever you are in the world. Shout out to some of the people who have written recently asking me questions about Spain. We've got Ian from Philadelphia, we've got Declan in Ireland, we've got Isidro out in California. Just people who have been in touch, I appreciate it. A lot of people write to me about my opinions on moving to Spain, and the answer is usually yes, but do it legally. You know, I unfortunately did not have the option of coming in a super legal way at first, and it made my life pretty difficult for a few years. So, by all means, come to Spain, but try to figure out a way that you can do it without being a fugitive from justice. Other people ask me about cities, like where they should live. The answer is usually Valencia, which is interesting because I've never actually lived in Valencia, but people are always asking about like Barcelona, and Barcelona is just so expensive. Unless you really, really want to be here for some good reason and are willing to spend the money, please just go a couple hours down the coast and spend half as much money to be in Valencia. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. If you have a question about moving to Spain, I will try to help you. Write me a message at expatmadrid.com/contact. You can just go to expatmadrid.com and, you know, click on the contact form also. That would work. And yeah, there are lots of ways of supporting this podcast. You could share it with some friends. You could share it on social media. You could, I don't know, take out a giant billboard in LA or San Francisco, alerting people to the awesomeness, which is the Spain to Go podcast. I mean, you do you. You could also just head past expatmadrid.com and sign up for my email updates, or even better idea, you could go to expatmadrid.com/donate and you could donate a little bit of money or a lot of money, whatever floats your boat. Anyway, I hope you are having an awesome day. I'm off to Manchester in the United Kingdom for a week, and I'll have more to say on the flip side. Keep it real, y'all, and we will talk soon. Bye.